Greetings, everyone. It is now time for Marked Safe. Tales of your very favorite and most beloved disasters. On Marked Safe, we discuss events and details that some may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Please listen responsibly and stay safe. And now, here with your hosts, Brianne and Melanie, this is Marked Safe.
Now that I got my crying out of the way, I guess we can start this thing.
You might have more crying. We don't know.
I went shopping. I was trying to squeeze in. We're doing kind of a late recording.
That's on me, by the way, just for anyone wondering. It's on me this time. And we take turns not having our shit together.
Yeah. So I was like trying to squeeze in like dinner preparations for tonight. And I was like, I'll get the stuff, record, and then I'll have it everything together for dinner. So I went to Walmart and I just had like the creepiest, weirdest interaction with a human. Well, actually, it probably isn't. I've had a stalker before, but like it just, I don't, maybe because I have kids and I'm older, it rubbed me wrong. So I've just
been. Unpack this. No, unpack it real quick. People, this happens a lot, I think.
Yes.
Let's talk about it for a minute.
So basically, I went to Walmart and Cody always jokes about why, like, he doesn't understand why I go to Walmart. I actually fucking love Walmart. I love looking at people, talking to people. Like, I thoroughly enjoy it. It gets a bad rap, but, you know, it doesn't bother me. I feel comfortable there. And, so I was getting pellets for our grill, and it's like way back in the corner of the garden center. And I went back there and they're unpacking fucking Christmas stuff. Like everybody tells me I'm too early for Halloween. They're fucking unpacking Christmas trees at Walmart. Like
I think you're in the safe zone for Halloween at this point.
Oh, so
not that you give a fuck.
I don't. Like I'm just did I buy some Christmas ornaments the other day? Yes, but it is Halloween. I'm not yucking anyone's yum.
And you should do it again because you deserve it.
But they had boxes stacked up where all like the charcoal and pellets and stuff are for your grill. So the aisle's really tiny. You can barely like get your cart in. So I go in. It's like the very last aisle in the store. Like you're backed up. And I'm getting my pellets and this huge, tall, skinny, lanky dude, like, just stands there staring at me at the end of the aisle. And it was weird, but I'm like, okay, it's whatever. You know, I don't know what his situation is. Maybe he's not looking at me. Maybe he's looking at the pellets I'm looking at. And then he's like, do you have a pellet grill? And I was like, I sure do. And I was expecting him to like mansplain grilling to me. Like, are you sure that's what you need? Because I've actually had that happen to me a couple times. I'm a grill boss. Like, just back up. I know what the fuck I'm doing.
And you do.
And so he like points over and he was like he keeps asking me all these weird like grilling questions. Like, you're a dude. Like, maybe you should know these things. Like, and it was common knowledge stuff that he should know. I don't know.
That makes it even weirder.
And then he goes, well, I just bought this grill, and he pointed to nothing.
What the fuck?
He said, I just bought this grill and I don't know how to use it. And I'm like, well, maybe it's like around the corner and I'm not seeing it. But as he's asking me a question, every time he does, he takes two steps closer to me to where he's like only like we probably could touch shoulders and I couldn't get like my cart around. So like I'm trying to be polite, this is what I was telling Brianne. Like, I'm so mad at myself. I should just like been like, this is inappropriate. You're making me uncomfortable.
I don't receive that. I mean, I mean, obviously that would be great if you could and did, but it is so fucking hard to overcome the way women are socialized to be polite until there is overt physical violence.
I'm just so fucking mad at my reaction because it was like, how do you not know? You know, like, You're...
How do you not know what?
Like, no, he...
Oh, he did know, babe. He did know. I don't know what his fucking damage is, but he's a piece of shit.
So, I don't know.
He did know.
But the way the aisles, like, go, like, I was able to get my cart around, and so I'm, like, walking down the aisles. He, like, goes out the other side, and where I'm at shoots into the toy aisle, and I'm like, oh, that's my happy place anyways, fine. And so as I'm entering the toy aisle, I see him, like, just standing there staring at me enter the toy aisle from, like, the other bays.
Yeah, because this guy needs to be in the toy aisle.
And then, so I was like, well, I'll just take my time. So I spent like 5 minutes in there. And as I shot out the other end, he's like waiting on the other end. And just...
You're allowed to be upset. You're allowed to be freaked out and rattled and uncomfortable. Some fucking guy with unknown intentions went out of his way to make you feel that way. I don't fucking know why, but he set out to make you feel... powerless and uncomfortable, well, and fuck him.
I don't know what I'm more mad about. Like, him?
I hope no one ever does fuck him again.
I don't know if I'm more mad at, like, what he did or the way I reacted.
That's not your fault. I love you.
So stupid. So basically nothing happened at Walmart. I called my husband. I mean, it did happen.
No, I don't receive that.
I called Cody and told him what was going on. And I gave him his description. But then I'm, like, walking. I'm, like, taking my time around Walmart. I'm, like, making sure I'm, like, looking up and looking at, like, every camera, which is so dumb. Like, no, I should, because I shouldn't have to do that.
Well, you shouldn't have. It's not dumb of you. It's dumb of him and dumb of reality.
So, like, I was on the phone with Cody when I walked out. And then, like, I see a guy, like, following behind me in a truck in a neon shirt. And I don't know how many people wear neon shirts. I don't know. I don't know if it was him, but, like, at this point, I'm freaked out. So I'm like, I have to fucking record a podcast. But I have to drive around an extra 15 minutes to make sure this dick doesn't follow me home.
You want me to come find him?
Yes.
Okay, I'm on my way. We'll record it live in person in a little bit. And I will put this man in his neon shirt. For legal purposes, I won't say in a lake, but in a schmake. Like Pontchartrain, maybe.
But I don't know. It just rattled me. I'm a little rattled. So I'm sorry. I hate opening up the podcast like this, but fucking.
Well,
I guess. I mean, we're diaries, right?
Yes, we are. And I love you and everybody loves you. And let us wrap you up. And then go put that guy in not a lake for legal reasons.
Yeah, so it weirded me out. And I don't know. I haven't felt like that in a long time because I pretty much stay home. So I don't know. It just sucks. I hate that anyone like has to feel uncomfortable buying some fucking pellets. I just want to grill. Let me grill in peace.
Are you going to grill tonight?
I am. I'm going to make the best fucking steak ever. And it's going to be delicious. It's going to be so good.
Good.
All right. Good.
You deserve a steak. So let's get to it so you can have your steak and, I don't know, maybe like a shot. I feel like you deserve that.
Oh, it's a school night. I am not doing that again.
One. You'll be fine.
All right.
I'm going to put a content warning for peer pressure for drinking. Thank you.
No, I love my husband. He was very, very upset. Like, and he gets it. You know, he's just like... You know, we have these conversations all the time because we have three girls and he's like, I feel like men don't really notice, like, unless maybe they are fathers or girls or like they're thrown into that situation or they are fucking the piece of shit that's a part of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's so sweet. I just love him so much. And he's just like, I'm so sorry. He's like, it's so unfair that you can't just fucking go to Walmart. And
yeah.
He gets it, but it's like, come on.
I mean, it is, and it's unfair that for most men, I mean, not socialization to be polite probably exists for everyone to a degree, but I feel like it would be a much smaller barrier for a man to overcome to turn around and say, hey man, what the fuck's your problem?
Yeah.
And it's not for women. It's not.
I feel like I was giving enough cues.
Yeah.
That I was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it was just like to be ignored or dismissed too onto, I don't know. I just, It's a lot.
It's a bad fucking deal.
It's a bad fucking deal. I'm better. I feel like I feel so much better just like talking about it.
That's why we're talking about it.
I love you so much. Well, I guess speaking about food, let's change subjects.
To something even darker.
Even darker. The seafood bracket.
All right, let's do it.
How's this for bullying? This week we're going to do ceviche versus calamari.
Oh, all right. To Google I go. Hold on. Ceviche. What the fuck even is that? It's a seafood dish.
It's just like okay, a salsa.
That's vague.
It's like a salsa that's like cooked with like the citruses of the limes. It's got your favorite. It's got some shrimp in there.
But it looks like it's not cooked. It looks like it's raw.
Well, yeah, because you're using the limes to cook it.
That's not how that works. No, it takes heat, actually. I've got some news for you about cooking. That could be, I don't know, fucking brining, marinating, something. That is not cooking. Versus what was it?
Calamari.
Fuck me. Are you kidding?
Have you never had calamari?
I have. Okay. You know what? Fuck. I can't with raw fish. Like, I just can't. And I'm sorry to report that lime is not fucking cooking. I'm disturbed by your implication that it is.
It's like a little acid bath. It's like what I wanted to do to that guy that fucking bothered me at Walmart.
Yes, and he would be certainly zesty and flavorful, but not cooked.
Not cooked.
Not cooked. His skin would probably be irritated, but he would not be cooked. And I can't believe I have to say this. This is like the fucking garlic bread debacle.
Oh my gosh. And
all these bullshit excuses. I don't think I have had calamari. I think I've just had, what the fuck do they call octopus?
Well, I mean, it's not off. Was it breaded and fried?
Not really.
Okay, then it's different. I mean, this is like your seafood chicken fingers.
Okay, you know what? Actually, I'm looking at pictures of it, and it actually looks kind of good.
It is so good. This is an impossible one for me.
Yeah, I know I'm not eating raw fish, but I would probably try the squid just willingly. It looks halfway decent. So, you know what? Maybe I will have to. Yeah. Squid, the fucking calamari is going to have to win.
Oh my gosh, I'm really excited about this. See, I just got to cry on a podcast and I get my way. You're going to try something new. So what are you doing today?
Okay, so what am I doing today? That's complicated. So I did a poll like a week or two ago, finding out what people want to hear about. And for a while, an Australian compilation was winning by a landslide. And I'm like, all right, give the people what they want. I had a couple things in mind. I know there's, we've got a couple Australian ghouls who had given some suggestions. There is a horrific amusement park disaster
there
that happened.
There sure is. Yep.
There, yeah. It's like almost big enough to be a standalone episode, but maybe not quite. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to roll this into Australia. It's going to be great. I made that rookie fucking mistake that you would not think I would still be making 2.5 years into this of starting a topic with a certain amount of time to cover it and getting like pretty fucking far into it and then being like, I don't have time. This is too big.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it's a little bit crunchy as far as something else. I'm like, well, let me go see if there was like a runner up and I will keep working on Australia. Go see if there's a runner up. Well, when I went back and looked, it was actually dead tied with zoo and aquarium disasters. So yeah, and I'm like, well, thank God for that. So
those
I think
late voters really saved your bacon.
They
huh?
really did. They really did. They let me save face. So I think that what I'm gonna do is I'm actually gonna make the Australia compilation our October Patreon episode.
I love and that so much.
Yes. So today we are going to do part, I don't know, 3, I think, of zoo and aquarium disasters. This is one of those things I like to do in a compilation called, I'm going to do five small things. Just kidding. One of them's huge. So we've got a small to medium one and a pretty big one. So we've got, it's like one of those, you know, soup and salad sandwich situations.
Nice. I love that.
Yeah. So let's do it.
All right.
So you remember Binky?
Yes. I love Binky.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Gugu, Binky's spiritual protege. Four years after Binky died, all of that "I'm a bear and I'm not the one for your shit" energy must have just been floating around in the universe waiting for somewhere to go, and Gordon Ramsay had already been born. So it apparently just zoomed right into the form of Gugu, a panda born in a nature preserve in China.
He's Binky reincarnate.
I mean, at the end of the story, you're going to have to wonder.
Let me tell you about my best friend.
When Gugu was six, a man made the interesting choice to get drunk and go to the zoo. And I need to know what is going on in somebody's life at that moment. Like, are you already going to the zoo? And then you just decide, fuck it, it'll be more fun if I'm lit. Or do you just, like, slam down your drink on the counter in the bar and say, it's time to go to the zoo?
See, like, I don't know. That sounds miserable to me. It's hot. There's too much walking. I don't know. I do not ever want to be drunk at a zoo.
No. Well, this guy shouldn't have either. It didn't truly pan out for him. He had apparently, like, the details are a little blurry on this. He had apparently somehow traveled 7 hours solely for the pandas. But I still, like, I just have questions about the timeline and the planning and the drinking. I don't know.
Surely he was not drinking and driving. He was on a train or something, right?
Yeah, no, I think so. That's not really the problem. And I need someone, whoever you are, who can connect this to the song "I Go to the Zoo." You're my new favorite listener. And if you know, you know. It's not you, and it's okay. I love you anyway. So what, I don't know, one or the other of those things happened, and Zhang Xinyan, probably fucking that up, but I'm doing my best, found himself staring down Gugu and wondering something. This panda fan that he was lit at the zoo and just wondering what it would be like to cuddle with Gugu.
He wanted to hug Gugu.
It would probably be amazing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Gugu was cute as fuck, soft as fuck, just chilling there, waiting for this guy to come be the little spoon. And who was he to say no to that?
he was just a little chilling villain.
So he climbed in and he came in for a hug, but his panda cuddle dream was not what he'd pictured.
Oh, no.
Gugu bit him on the legs. And Zhang did the only thing he could think of to do, which was to bite the six-year-old panda back.
What the fuck?
What else do you do, Melanie?
Oh my gosh.
That's what you should have done with Walmart guy.
Natural consequences, yes.
You should have just fucking bitten him.
I should.
He tried to come in for a cuddle. What you needed to do was bite him.
Noted. You know?
Victim shaming.
It will never fucking happen again.
Okay. Keep that in mind next time, please.
I cannot wait till you guys see in the news, podcaster bites lanky white dude in garden center of Walmart.
We'll know exactly who it was. That'll be great publicity. Please do that.
Oh, gosh.
But it didn't actually work in his case. I do think it would work with Walmart guy, but in this case it didn't work because his, quote, fur was too thick. Although I honestly feel like even if it wasn't, it wouldn't have done anything but piss Gugu off more. Raising more questions, Wikipedia states that, quote, zoo officials sedated Gugu by spraying him with water. And I have every question in the world because I really don't think that's how water or sedation works.
No, listen, because as soon as I'm done with this, I'm making a steak and I'm jumping in the bath and I'm going to be fucking out. Like, that's...
You're going to be sedated?
Water will sedate me so quick.
Okay, fair enough. Well, next time you bite a creep in Walmart and someone sprays you with water to make you stop, we'll see how sedated you are. I don't know. Other articles maybe kind of make it seem like they just, like, use the water to distract him long enough to free Zhang, who was hospitalized for a while with pretty fucking severe leg injuries. And he gave interviews saying that he thought pandas were nice. The zoo did not pursue any action against him, and their statement definitely came off like, you know, he's already fucked around and found out, let's leave him alone, right, kind of thing. And the interference from humans would have been quite sufficient for Gugu too, who had to deal with another uninvited house guest the following year. This time it was a 15-year-old who I don't think even loved pandas like that, but he still hopped in while the fucking bears were eating, which is just genius.
Wow, 15-year-olds.
Yeah, they're a trip. Gugu already knew the drill at this point, and he once again went for the legs, ripping the flesh away from his bones for 3 to 4 minutes.
3 to 4 minutes. That's
3 to 4 minutes of pandas eating your legs.
Gotta feel like a fucking eternity.
Yeah, and this is gory, guys. Skip 15 seconds if you can't hang. Leaving him so fucked up that chunks of his legs were falling off in the ambulance, just like onto the floor. Yep. How about that steak, huh?
Yeah. You know what? I've earned that steak. That steak is going to be delicious tonight.
Oh my God. Yes, you have. A zoo official with the same name as the first guy that got attacked. And I know it's like a super common name, but I really do love to imagine that the first guy just like regrouped and channeled his love of pandas from hugging them to becoming a fucking zoo official the following year. It's canon in my head. You cannot change it.
I love that.
But anyway, this guy said that people should, quote, act properly when visiting and love the animals. But like not as much as the first guy.
Right.
I think he loved them too much.
Tone it down a bit.
Tone it down. But like, you know, love them from afar. But at this point, everyone was saying that the zoo should make the fence taller. But as it was, the fence was almost 5 feet tall, and they were like, fuck, if we make it any taller, you guys won't be able to see the damn pandas.
Right.
But honestly, maybe it would have been for the best, because less than 2 years later,
oh no,
a 5-year-old child dropped a toy in Gugu's pen, and his dad went in after it. Gugu went for the legs a third time.
Parents, let the toy go.
Let it go.
It's not that important. Just let it go.
Mm-hmm. Let it go. Just let it the fuck go. So Gugu went for the legs a third time, damaging them severely, but he was apparently over it this time, and the staff had to use tools to pry his mouth open and get him to release the legs.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's like the jaws of life on the jaws of death.
So Melania Trump actually visited China and met Gugu during her time as first lady, at which point...
He bit her leg!
He didn't bite her legs. That would be delightful, though. I mean, not delightful. Like, I'm not actually rooting for her to get her legs bitten, but what a story. At which point, Gugu was referred to as the, quote, goodwill ambassador of the zoo. Oh. And although I acknowledge that none of this was his fault, I do think that goodwill ambassador might be reaching a little bit.
Were there any other animals at this zoo? Like, were the pickings slim?
Yeah, you do have to wonder, don't you? Like, so slim. Like, two animals and the other one's Pinky. I just...
So this was during, like, her uh-huh. little stint as...
Yep.
First lady?
Oh, yep. All right. Yep. And I feel like if somebody I didn't like visited my house to meet my 240-pound Canadian goose with a taste for human blood, and I was like, meet Frederick, the goodwill ambassador of my home, I might mean that a little passive-aggressively.
Maybe she was just, like, feeling a certain way. I mean, look who her husband is, you know?
I mean, you have to wonder.
I don't know. Human complexities.
Human complexities. Oh, okay. So the next one is both bigger and sadder. It's real sad, start to finish. As is the case for most elephants that would come to the attention of this podcast, Mila the African elephant's life had involved a lot of tragedy by the time she is known to the world in any way.
Elephant stuff, like, is so hard for me.
Well, get ready.
Oh my gosh.
Get ready, because if you were to name, like, the top few bad things that happened to elephants, we're actually going to hit them all.
Oh, fuck.
There's no ivory harvesting, I don't think, but that's, like, it.
All right.
All of it. So, elephant culling, as you probably know, is the pretty horrifying practice of killing groups of elephants as a form of population control. It was commonly used for decades out of fear that an elephant population that was too large would damage the environment. It's not even completely off the table now for countries, but, like, it's not really done anymore. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's complicated. There were theoretically, like, when this was in more common usage, there were theoretically efforts made to minimize the trauma. Helicopter pilots, probably having the worst fucking day at work, would herd them into a group, and then hunters would kill them quickly, leaving the young ones to be transferred to preserves and zoos. Ugh. Like the kid elephants, basically. I don't know if they thought that the surviving young elephants just forgot what they'd witnessed or something, but they didn't.
No, fucking way. They don't.
No. It became apparent pretty quickly that the survivors were left with serious trauma and cognitive behavioral issues. Orphaned elephants show impaired social judgment for their lifetimes and behavior consistent with PTSD. So, Milo is taken into captivity at age 3 after watching her family be killed. But her trauma didn't even come close to ending there, unfortunately. Milo had never been taught by her herd how to be an elephant, which is, you know, a very complex process for them. Most of us probably have some awareness of the fact that elephant hierarchies are just a whole ass thing. They've got very complex roles, teaching processes, and being deprived of that messes them up completely.
Right.
When Milo was sent to 2 different zoos, the other elephants picked on her until a trainer named Tony, who worked with Whirling Brothers Circus in New Zealand, bought her to perform tricks that were taught to her cruelly, often shackled, nearly always understimulated and neglected. As horrifying as her experience with culling must have been, it was her time in the circus that truly wore grooves into her psyche. Tony the trainer gave her some degree of attention, but Milo would have been aware that he was both her captor and her supposed friend, although Tony insisted that she loved him. He would say that, wouldn't he?
Yep.
And she may have, but elephant experts say it would have been a fucked up kind of love, kind of a Stockholm Syndrome situation. She was the only elephant performing in the circus, so she didn't have any others to potentially bond with. In fact, she never even saw another elephant once.
That's really sad.
It is, because only one other elephant even existed in the entire country. She was isolated, to put it mildly. Milo wasn't thriving in the circus, and she started showing signs of significant stress after decades with Whirling Brothers. She was finally purchased by a zoo, providing her with a not entirely unfamiliar experience, unfortunately, which was losing everything she knew, and in this case, the only real social bond she had with Tony, to start over somewhere new.
She's, like, constantly being rehomed.
Yeah. And, I mean, you can't do that with elephants, you know?
She couldn't do that with any living thing.
No, you
can't. Unless it's the, like, Walmart guy. Let's fucking rehome him a bunch of times. Sorry, I'll let it go.
No, please don't. I love it. We're gonna cover him in limes.
We'll give him a lot of paper cuts first.
Yes, we're going to bite his legs, break a little skin, and then cover him with limes.
Love it.
And then we're going to sell him to a circus and then a zoo. And he's going to have a weird guy named Tony teaching him tricks.
I love it. I'm down for it. Okay,
perfect.
Seems a little harsh. This is where my politeness is still coming in, but I'm okay.
Nope, it's not. All right. It's not. It's fine. So, she probably, because of her experience with attachment, basically, she probably would have had a complicated relationship with the new human in her life, who in this case happened to be a veterinarian named Helen. Helen needed to form a bond with Mila so that she would have someone to get her through the process of doing what everyone felt was best for her, which was moving her from a temporary zoo, Franklin Zoo in Massachusetts, to a sanctuary somewhere that would give her a lot of what she needed in life, which was just more room.
So she's all the way into the States now?
Uh-huh. Yep.
How do they, I mean, is that by boat? It'd have to be
really
by
sure
boat.
How she got to the States. We get into some transport details later, but I'm not sure how she actually got from New Zealand to the States. She just needed more room to move and roam and, you know, more kind of tactile experiences with nature and more freedom than she had had up to that point. So Helen made it her mission to form a connection with Myla. She took over her care. She spent countless hours bonding with her. Helen loved working with Myla, who had been called Jumbo while she was with the circus, which for some reason this fucking offends me. I don't like it.
Wasn't that Dumbo's mom's name?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I just feel like it's
I mean,
not,
Dumbo's very problematic, so.
It is so problematic. I just feel like it's not a very good name. And also, I feel like, I don't know. I like the name Myla for her. My niece is named Myla, so maybe I'm sentimental about it. But I don't know. It's just like all these articles that I read about were referring to her as Myla. You know, I got through like 20 articles, like deep dive articles about her as Myla. And then I read a couple things where she was suddenly referred to as Jumbo. And it just felt so.
Yeah, don't change.
The word that comes to mind is dehumanizing, like the name Jumbo, which is stupid because A, she's not human. And B, she's
de-elephantinizing.
It does. I feel like she deserves a better name than that. A more dignified name than Jumbo.
And like, how is she supposed to, like, she has to like learn her name all over again. Their elephants are fucking smart.
And she was like fucking 35 to 40 at this point.
No.
Helen wrote, quote, "It is a tremendous privilege to take care of Jumbo, parentheses Myla. I feel personally humbled and flattered by the big ear flapping purrs she gives me as a greeting when I return to see her from other activities in the sanctuary. She is so affectionate and responsive. It will be a joyful day to see her develop friends of the elephant kind in the future. This is a short way off now." So Helen really wanted to see her end up at San Diego Zoo. They had a good program for older elephants or elephants who had a lot of medical needs, and they had like a herd that didn't reproduce, so the hierarchy wasn't the same, so just kind of troubled elephants could fit in there a little bit better.
It's a good zoo. I like the San Diego Zoo. Not my favorite zoo, but...
What's your favorite zoo?
Portland.
Really? Why?
It's just... Every animal looks, like, really well cared for. You usually are walking through a protest to get into the zoo, usually. I don't know why. There's always been protesters every time we've gone. Not for the zoo, but for, like, other things, like large corporations and stuff like that. It gets a little wild. It's Portland. It gets weird. But it's just, I don't know. Their setup just seems real. I mean, for a zoo, as much as you can be, just seems like they're really paying attention. It's nice when you go on like a misty day. Oh, I really love it.
That's very specific. I like it. So, like a lot of trainers, Helen lived at the zoo, so she was able to really all but devote her life to helping Myla, who had started having panic attacks at this point. But fortunately, she was soothed by Helen, who would talk to her through a wall until she was finally able to fall asleep again. But on April 25th, 2012, something happened that rattled Myla even more than anything Helen would be able to help her through. Myla brushed up against an electric fence, scaring herself. I don't think she was hurt or anything, she was just spooked. She panicked, and Helen responded, entering the enclosure to calm her with some fruit. She shouldn't have done that. It was against protocol. But her relationship with Myla was a priority. They had come this far, and she was, frankly, exhausted from the hours she'd been working. She probably was not really using her best judgment.
Right.
So she entered the pen, and when she did, she tripped. But for reasons that no one will ever know, Myla wrapped her trunk around Helen's body. And some people who saw her do it said it was protective, like she was catching her or even comforting her.
Right.
Other animal behavior experts disagreed and said that she snapped. A psychiatrist specializing in animal emotions said, quote, "I think she deliberately did what she did. From our point of view, it's a betrayal, but the elephant may have decided she's not my friend."
Wow.
Yeah. Whichever it was, she crushed Helen. Somebody called 911, but Helen was dead when they got there at 4:30 p.m. And who showed up immediately after Helen's death but Tony the fucking circus trainer?
Oh, Jesus.
Uh-huh. So he rolls up to the zoo, insisting on seeing Mila, and he was quoted as saying, quote, "As soon as I see the situation, I'll know if it was a deliberate elephant attack or not. Elephants choose their friends, and when they attack, they attack." Fuck off, Tony. "I'm just gutted. A lady has lost her life. It is a tragedy." So he tried to come in to help and was sent away. The zoo was like, "We fucking got this."
Which,
I mean, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, do you? I mean,
right.
Somebody is dead here. But at the same time, fuck off, Tony. You're not helpful. I bet he was wearing a neon colored shirt. Afterwards, the Franklin Zoo, where Mila had been when it happened, they closed like the entire zoo during an investigation. They said that she seemed calm and pretty okay in the aftermath, but her future was uncertain. There was some debate about whether she would be euthanized, and there was also some debate about whether she would ever make it to San Diego, where Massachusetts' Franklin Zoo had been working so hard to move her this whole time. She'd been there at Franklin Zoo for like 3 years, and now everything was just in question. So a little more than a year after Helen's death, it was finally time to try it. Moving an elephant that far is a massive undertaking, beginning with training. Mila was taught how to, quote, "participate in her own care, lifting her legs for pedicures, opening her mouth for dental checks, and presenting an ear for blood draws." A special crate was built for her, and she was flown from Massachusetts to Los Angeles.
Okay, that's bananas to me.
Right? Like, the fact that anytime you look up and you see a plane flying over you, it could have an elephant in it. Like, that's a trip. That's a whole ass trip.
The math is not mathing for me.
Like, weight-wise?
No, I mean, I'm sure it's, like, it's just a huge cargo plane and it works. Yeah. But, I mean, that's fucking bananas.
I just, like, I feel like every time I look at a plane now, I'm going to be like, is there an elephant on there?
Then that kind of makes me sad because usually those cargo planes, they don't have heat and stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, she...
So she just, like...
She flew all the way across the country.
Oh, I hope they have, like, heating elements and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know, but, I mean, they put, like, a year of work into this, so, I mean, surely they...
I'm surely they did.
Somehow. Yeah. I don't know the details of that, but when she landed in L.A., representatives from both zoos went with her on the long drive to San Diego on a flatbed truck with a police escort the whole way. And, like, what a day to be a cop. Like, normally you've got to either be out here dealing with bad shit or causing bad shit, depending on what cop you are. But no. Like, today you were doing the important work of transporting an elephant. What a cute day at work.
Yeah, she's just driving down the 101, passing the boobs on the way to San Diego.
Yeah.
Nuclear plants.
Yeah, she's zooming. So when she got there, Mila finally had a group of older elephants to form connections with, which was actually her first time ever meeting another elephant other than the young ones who had bullied her when she was bought by the circus, before she was bought by the circus, when she was like 3. And, you know, obviously her family when she was 3. But, I mean, basically, pretty much her first time. And this time it was going well. She was getting along well with the other elephants at the zoo, and she was really starting to settle in. And this was a huge deal for more than one reason. Mila, like I said, she hadn't been exposed to any elephants in decades, like 3-4 decades. And the San Diego Zoo had never before successfully introduced a single adult elephant into an existing herd ever. So for nearly 4 years, she thrived. She cuddled with the other elephants. She splashed in the mud. She just had a blast for as much as such a traumatized elephant really could. Until she was unexpectedly found dead one morning in 2017.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I told you. Yeah.
I don't know how I don't know this fucking story, because I was there. Was I? No, I wasn't there. Never mind. I had left. I'm like 2 years outside of living there. You said 2017?
Yeah.
She's just... What happened to her?
They don't really know. I mean, they said that there was going to be a necropsy, but I couldn't find the results of it, but they were speculating that it was just a stroke or a heart attack or something.
That's really fucking sad. She was, like, finally happy.
Yeah. So Helen's sister Jenny had actually stayed pretty involved with things, and she gave a statement saying, quote, "I felt like I had been hit by a bus when I got notified of Milo's death. It was such a shock because she was doing very well. She was healthy, and we presumed that she would live a good 10 or more years. But we were also very happy because she had such a good, successful integration after living the majority of her life with no other elephants, that the integration was so successful. She had 3.5 years living with other elephants very happily. The elephant team at San Diego Zoo cared for and loved Mila as much as we did. They supported her through her quarantine period and gradually and respectfully integrated her into the herd. Helen would be very grateful that this was such a successful process and that Mila had this time to be part of a herd and display natural elephant behaviors. San Diego Zoo has an aged elephant facility specifically set up for elephants with similar backgrounds to Mila, and it's a non-reproducing herd, so they're all on equal footing. They agreed to take her and look after her for the rest of her life," which they did.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is, I believe, our third installment of Zoo and Aquarium Disasters. And, you know, I got into Milo's story and it was pretty big. And I was like, you know, we're gonna wrap it here, I think.
Do you know what was her final age by chance? You have that offhand?
I believe 44.
Mm-hmm. She's and like very close to my age. That's really fucking depressing.
Yeah. And in the wild, they live to be like 70. They do tend to die younger in captivity. But right. I don't think they were expecting her to die quite that young.
No, that's really sad. That is super sad.
Yeah. But she got her 3.5 years, and, you know, I mean, it's not enough, but it's something after what she'd been through.
Parents, talk to your elephants about bullying other elephants, please.
And talk to your kids about not becoming circus trainers.
Yes. You know?
And talk to your kids about not being Walmart creeps.
Yes.
And talk to your kids about how cooking works.
Absolutely. So you
don't just have, you know what? Let's record an episode for your kids.
You know what? I would love that.
We're gonna do a life lessons for your children episode. There won't be any cussing in it, but we're gonna teach your kids some things about what limes can and cannot do. We're gonna teach your kids some things about being kind to elephants. We're gonna teach your kids some things about. But for sure,
I know we're like laughing. I'm dead fucking serious. Like, I feel like we need this.
Yeah. Listen, if there's interest, let's do it.
No. Okay. Listen, let's just bounce off ideas real quick because this I'm so inspired right now. Let's do, we need to make this a collab.
With whom?
No, me and you.
Oh, okay.
A collab?
Everything we do is a collab. What the fuck are you talking about?
No, I'm saying where we do an episode on this. Like, let's just fuck.
Let's just fuck?
I want to do a kid.
Melanie.
I want to do a kid episode. I know I want to do me and you like we did with the movie set stuff. Put together like a kid's disaster episode. Fire safety. That
would be so cool.
Like fire safety. Like what to do with this. Like let's. I think that would be so cool. Like no cussing. Just everyone can just relax for a week. We'll dial it down 10 notches. Do some dad jokes. Oh my gosh, this is my dream. I want this so bad.
All right, well, let's get some feedback from the ghouls and the
I don't care.
You don't care. You're no, like, just, I don't care if no, I'm just want kidding. It. I want it.
I want it so bad. I have ideas right now. Oh my gosh, I have ideas. I have so many ideas. Oh, my brain is about to explode. I can't handle it. All right. Well, wait for feedback, but I want a kids episode.
Okay. Listen, I'm into it.
Just one.
Maybe. Depends on how well it goes.
We'll see. But what if the kids like it so much they want to listen to other stuff, and then their parents are like, no, you can't. And then all of a sudden, like, it's a bad thing. We have to figure out, we're going to workshop this.
Once again, feedback.
Feedback first. Yeah. But workshop.
Maybe we should actually
workshop,
care.
Workshop it.
I love you. I just love your baby enthusiasm ghouls. So
I love baby
much.
Ghouls. I don't know.
I love baby ghouls.
I just think it would be really cool. Like, I don't know, maybe this is selfishly, like, I would love to be able to give my kids an episode to listen to.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I don't
Me
know.
Too.
All right.
Okay.
Feedback. Okay.
Feedback. Give it to us. You ready for some disaster relief?
Sure am.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, you go first.
Can I be cheesy as fuck right now?
Please do.
Can I make you my disaster relief?
Fuck off, no.
Listen, I went to Walmart, I had an experience, and then like half an hour later I had to jump on to record this episode. And the way I feel right now versus the way I started this, I love you. Thank you for listening to me. More important, like, you hear me. It feels so good to be heard. And you're just very special to me. It feels good to feel validated because I felt dumb. I felt like the situation was stupid. Nothing happened to me. But to feel validated is, I don't know, I feel that doesn't happen a lot lately. No. And you're just very, very important to me. And I hope you know how much I love you.
Okay, well, reverse Uno. Okay, I'm going to reverse Uno your ass because I was very unhappy with what I was about to say. And I thought about doing this the other day and I was like, no, she would kill me. But I have needed my River Styx tour guide again this week. I don't think it is necessarily a secret at this point. I don't think she listens to the podcast, and some people have already mentioned some things about it on social media. So I think it's okay to say that my very beloved grandmother is very sick.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved doesn't cover it. She's like my soulmate.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whenever I talk about her, I want to be like my grandmother, but it's not what you're thinking. Like, it's different. It's more, it's way deeper. It's totally
different. It's not, it's, you know, I think generally someone thinks about grandma. It's like, it's just like this, you guys are one in the same.
I have her handwriting tattooed on my wrist and she's still alive.
Yeah.
She was a bridesmaid in my wedding. You know, she is, it's a completely different level.
Absolutely.
We are the same person. If you like me, trust me, you love my grandmother. And she has been sick since earlier this year. I don't know if we've talked about this. Probably briefly.
I don't think we've talked about it really at all. I think we said, hey, we had a bad week with some medical stuff, and we left it at that. Yeah.
Yeah. And her sickness was kind of escalating right at the same time that my dad died. And, you know, there was just a lot going on. Well, hospice has entered the chat.
Yeah.
And I was driving the other night and crying and on the interstate going somewhere to get a much needed hug. And I was just like, I need to get my shit like a little bit together before I get there. And it's like one of those things where you're drowning and you're underwater and it's like you reach your hand up and who are you going to reach for? Melanie. always Melanie. And, you know,
always Brianne.
And I mean, sometimes weeks go by where we talk a shit ton and, you know, we'll call and we'll be on the phone for like an hour just talking about stuff and we'll text a lot. And then other weeks go by where we're busy and we don't really communicate much at all except for about the podcast.
Yeah.
It varies. But when I'm driving down the interstate at 11 p.m. sobbing my heart out and it's just like, okay, who? Melanie. And I was thinking at the time that if people knew, like, I don't know, you know, just so you know, this is not just an on-air persona kind of thing. This is actually who I call when I'm driving down the interstate crying at 11 o'clock. So, you know, I called you and you were with your kids, but you got to be alone very quickly. I'm impressed. And it was help me know how to do this thing.
The hospice tour guide.
A hospice tour guide. And you talked me through some stuff, gave me a very needed pep talk, some emotional support, some rallying, some advice for the next steps. And I felt much more able to handle things after that. I mean, obviously you can't fix it. You can't take it away, but
right.
I felt I got exactly what I needed from that. And so for that reason, you were also my disaster relief. Well, and I thought about it then. I was like, she should be my disaster relief. And I was like, she's going to kill me. I'm not going to do it.
Well, now we have to get married.
Okay. Well, fuck. That's fine. I thought you'd never ask.
No, you are so important, so special to me. And yeah, this is, if anybody thinks this is just for the podcast, then
nope.
Your dick's loose. Listen.
Did you just say your dick's loose?
I'm sorry, what?
Is that a phrase? Did you just make it?
That might be a 90s phrase. I'm sorry. Sometimes they come back.
Mine's real loose, but I do know that it's real. Our love, not my dick. Okay, we gotta wrap this up.
All right, I need to make a steak. I love you. I love you so much. Thanks for being there for me. And I hope you know I'll always be there for you.
Same to you. I love you so much. Go enjoy your steak.
Until next time, sweet dreams or no dreams.
Sweet dreams or no dreams.
Hey, Horrible Ghouls. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you would like to share your personal MarkSafe moment, you can send it to us at MarkSafePodcast@gmail.com. Please give our podcast a rate, review, and subscribe, and tell your buddies about us too. That goes a long way. If you want to further elevate your support, check out our MarkSafe Patreon page, where we have shoutouts, goodies, and some bonus content in the works. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks again, and as always, stay safe.